Big K Morning Show on the big silver screen. My in-studio guest, Tressa Glover, the woman behind Yinz Are Good. And what's next?
What's next?
You're an actress, too.
I mean,
you do this podcast, yeah. And thanks for sharing it with us, too. We appreciate it.
Mm.
That's how the world is. Just talking to Patrick O'Connor, who works with Get Marty. And, you know, in this world, you kind of have to reinvent what you do, all these different platforms, social media. And that's changed the industry in the movie business, too.
Television. Yeah. Oh, yes. It is. And it's even before the pandemic, the move towards auditioning, you didn't have to do it in person as much. I mean, that was all, you know, once technology was there, you could audition for something by sending in, you know, a self-tape, as we call it, right? So you can send in you send a video over of auditioning for the film instead of having to be there in person. So you could do it from anywhere. But especially as everything keeps growing and then the pandemic, it made it, you know, if you're auditioning during then, it was like, oh, yes, you're auditioning from home. You got to set up your equipment and you have to have, you know, the background has to look right and you have to make sure. And all of a sudden, the actor now has to become this behind the camera person and trying to make sure that all of that looks right. And
A set designer, stage manager.
Yes. Oh, all the things.
That's where Patrick is really good. He has all the technological knowledge to enhance all that. But that's
Patrick,
the world.
Where have you been my
whole
life?
World, that's the world we're living in.
Yeah, it is. And so that was, you know, I remember, so the shows that I've recently done, I mentioned A League of Their Own and Archive 81. I also did the Mr. Rogers movie.
Did you get
as
to
well.
Meet Tom Hanks?
I did. My scene was with him. Yes. Okay. So it was, now when you see the movie, it's a lot, they chose the long shot of it and the way my hair was, like the right side of my hair was kind of in my face. So you're going to see a good profile, but you're going to hear me. I had lines and all, but I did a lot of good hair acting, profile acting. But when we went into rehearse before going into wardrobe and all of that, he came up to me and said, "Hi, I'm Tom." And part of me wanted to be like, "I'm sorry, was that Tom?"
Tom, nice to meet you.
Okay.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. Could not have been.
Was he cool?
A nicer, more down to earth. He and I ended up talking Penguins hockey for 45 minutes because it was in between a couple of the takes, and it was that year. It was the home opener for the Penguins, and I said to another actor on set, I said, "Hey, it's a hockey night in Pittsburgh," and Tom said, "You know, I'm going tonight," and I was like, "What?" And so we start talking, and as we're talking, he said, whoa, you like know hockey, like you're like a hockey gal. I'm like, "Tom, you're in Pittsburgh." And yes. And then he said, "Oh, I kind of don't want to tell you who I'm sitting with." And I said, "If you tell me you're sitting with Mario Lemieux, I will not talk to you." And he started laughing. He said, "Well, he asked me." I said, "That is not fair. You don't even live here." And we were just laughing about it. But he was, he grew up in Oakland, California. And I guess the Oakland Seals were an NHL team that came in when the Penguins did. And when the Seals
left the league. The California Golden Seals.
That's
out
it.
Of Oakland, yeah.
And when they left the league, he became a Penguin. Like, he started following the Penguins is the way he told it. And he called them the Pens, which is how I knew.
And Tom Hanks has been here a couple of times.
Yes.
To shoot movies. Though the movie business right now is still recovering from the strikes from the writers and the actors. And so we only have one show currently in production, and that's The Mayor of Kingstown with Jeremy Renner.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Rust before with Jeff Daniels, which I guess they had already shot, and they're airing that last series of shows.
Yeah.
Do you know of anything that's on the horizon here?
I don't at this time.
But you know, 95% of actors are out of work.
Oh, yeah.
Are you
aware
of this?
Did you ever see Tootsie?
Yeah.
Movie? Such a good movie. But the older I get, like every time I watch it, because it's, and listeners, if you haven't, it's a great movie. It's Dustin Hoffman and it's a classic. But there's a clip in there. It was early 80s was when that was shot, where he's talking to his acting class and he's saying 90% of actors are unemployed at all times. And like that number has never changed. You know,
I think it's 95%.
Here we are, how many years later now? Maybe, it went up even. But the industry, the business, even if you're living in LA, even if you're living in New York, you know, there are very few actors, if any, who are working all
constantly.
The time. Constantly. It's not
a Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
That level, which is few and far between.
Yes.
they're the AA listers, and then everybody else. Yeah, it's a tough
and even
industry.
You know, and part of the SAG-AFTRA, so I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA, and part of that strike, you probably heard a lot about. Okay, it's about wages, but there were other things attached. One of them being health insurance, and what folks might not realize is that, and with the theater union as well, with Actors Equity, it's the same way. You have to work a certain number of weeks or get in a certain number of whatever it is for each union to qualify for insurance, which if you compare it to other things makes sense, right? You have to do the work in order to get
the benefit.
And you only qualify for a certain period of time of coverage. So like once you qualify, it's not like you have it for, you know, so sometimes it's only 6 months or sometimes it's only a year. And so there were things like that involved with the strike as well, but it was somewhere, it's upwards of, so thinking about what qualifies you to get insurance, it was upwards of 70% of actors in SAG-AFTRA do not have health insurance. So it gives you an idea of how many in the union actors aren't working enough to qualify for. It's just, it's what the business, it's what it is.
So therefore you came up with Yinz Are Good, the podcast.
There you go.
Kind of do
your
own thing.
In the middle of the pandemic.
While you're working, well, I appreciate you coming in.
This
and
has
keep
been
talking
so fun.
About what's good in Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And sharing it.
Thank you for everything you do.
And when are you
you're doing a lot of good stuff in Pittsburgh. So thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. When is the Troy Polamalu Theodora podcast going to drop?
Oh, it dropped already.
It's out?
So it's episode 125. It dropped last week.
Check it out,
Nat.
Tressa Glover, thank you.
Thank you.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Download that free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Check it out. You can also watch on the Ireland Contracting video feed. Especially fun when Marty's on the air 10 to 2. Go to kdkradio.com, click on Watch KDK Radio Live Stream. And also through Get Marty and Facebook Live, you can follow Marty as well. And we'll check in with him in the next half hour. Meanwhile, every Tuesday at this time, we check in with Lynn Hayes Freeland. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. I'm wondering if you know that I, too, have acting in my background.
Well, I didn't know that.
See, it's one of those little tidbits that I like to bring out when, you know how sometimes you have to answer the question people would be surprised to know? Well, in 1960, there used to be something called the Melody Tent that they would set up in the parking lot of the old Civic Arena. And that's where the CLO did their summer performances. I was in The King and I with Betty White.
What?
And here's the really cool thing about it. As you guys were talking, and I have one photograph from that time period, just one that appeared in a local newspaper. But as you guys were talking about it in the last segment, talking about acting in Pittsburgh, I Googled, you know, the Melody Tent Pittsburgh, The King and I. And sure enough, under the cast members is my name.
I did not know that, but you chose a journalism career instead of acting, which was probably a good choice because as we talked to Tressa, it's hard to get work.
You know what? I don't even know that there was any correlation. I was very young. Back in those days, the Pittsburgh Playhouse was over in Oakland. And my sister and I, my mother had us in acting classes and dancing classes and music classes, singing lessons. So through our connection with the Playhouse, when there were roles that would come up, different organizations in the city would come to the Playhouse if they had roles for kids. So that's how we got involved in it. But I can truly only remember a couple of plays that we were in. So I don't know that acting was ever really on my radar, but hey, who knows?
I was thinking, when you said Melody Tent Lot, I never knew what that was till just now. I remember them saying, oh yeah, park in the old Melody Tent Lot at the arena. But I never knew there was actually a tent.
There was. It was a big tent, kind of like, you don't see them so much in Pittsburgh, but I see them in other cities. Like when Cirque du Soleil goes to different cities, they have these big tents that literally come up to a point at the top. And that's what it was. I remember it was white. I want to say there was like some kind of gold trim. I don't remember all of the details. I'm not going to lie. I don't remember all the details. But it's funny because when I look at this picture, there were probably 12 or 15 or so kids that were in this production. And I have a picture of myself, my sister, who was also in it with me, another girl from our neighborhood, Susie Morgan. I kind of remember that photograph. And then it always took my mother to remind me, yes, you were in a play with Betty White.
Do you remember working with her? I mean, she seemed like a really great lady.
Here's the thing I don't. What I remember is, and I don't know if you're how familiar you are with the story of The King and I or the production of The King and I, but there is a scene where a child runs through the king's legs. He's kind of standing there with his hands on his hip and his legs in a V, and a child runs through. I was that kid in this play. I was the one that ran through his legs, but it wasn't Yul Brynner. So I didn't really know who Betty White was until years later.
Let my people go, Moses. That's my Yul Brynner. Meanwhile, what's on your radar, Lynn?
Well, you know what? It's a lot of politics, I'll be honest, a lot of politics. I'm still a news junkie, Larry. I still like to follow the news and follow politics, which is the other thing that I've found interesting in your conversation the last hour or so, because I now understand when I worked in the news every day, people would always say to me, oh, you're on the news. Yeah, I don't watch the news. It's too depressing.
Right.
I don't watch the news. It's too much negativity. And I got very defensive in those days. And I would say, you have to watch the news. You should know what's going on in the community and in your world. Well, now that I am an observer for the most part and not a participant in the daily news, I get it. I understand why people need good news or people want good news, because the news can be very depressing. And guess what? Politics has become very depressing as well.
You are 100% right, spot on. I have heard that more recently than ever before. No, I don't watch the news. It's too depressing. And people are also, when it comes to, you know, the country's basically split down the middle politically. Uh-huh. And as soon as you mention one or the other, you know who I'm talking about, people completely turn off. You can't have conversations either way unless they feel you're aligned with their side. And just the BS that goes with these elections and the stuff that they're putting out and the social media and the memes and the jokes and the snipes, it just gets old. I mean, it just gets old.
It gets to be too much. And you know, even you look at social media and someone can post something not pretty much innocent, you know, or just a statement of something that happened, whether it's in downtown or in Washington, D.C., but they make a statement about something. And all of a sudden, all of the comments become very political, become very, well, you know, it's the Democrats' fault. It's the Republicans' fault. And, you know, I have learned not to interject in these conversations. But so often I want to say, you know what, if you guys had a better understanding of how government actually works, you probably wouldn't say those things. But I stay out of the fray because my blood pressure doesn't need that aggravation.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner was Saturday.
Yes.
And, you know, that's an annual event that gets a lot of press because it gets pretty ugly, though, in the jokes. However, this year, as last year, Donald Trump doesn't want to participate in that, by the way. He said he's not going to ever do it. So even if he wins again, they're not going to have it.
He's not going to be there, yeah.
But it's surprising to me. The Biden campaign has reached out to some really unusual people to get support. He did a sit-down, an hour sit-down with Howard Stern. Mm-hmm. And people may be surprised by that. Like, why would he do that, put himself out there? Of course, Howard's aligned that way. But I'm trying to figure out where we go because Donald Trump's back in court today in Manhattan. And nobody seems to know what the outcome of any of these things will do, except that it's Donald Trump and Joe Biden, at least for now. And that doesn't appear to change. Yeah. It's not going to change.
No, it isn't. And I did watch, I mean, the White House Correspondents' Dinner is one of those things that I always wished I had had the opportunity to attend. I never did, obviously, because I didn't cover the White House. But I do watch it every year. I watch it. I find it entertaining. I thought it was entertaining this year as well. But sometimes it too becomes very political. And there were moments this week or Saturday night where I felt like it became political.
Oh, yeah. It always does. All right, we got more coming up. Lynn Hayes Breland on the Big K Morning Show. Get ready for a new month tomorrow, wrapping up what could be one of the wettest. Well, it's already one of the wettest Aprils on record. If we get a little more rain today, which we will, we'll push over 8 inches of rain for the month. When you consider we get like 36 inches of rain for the year, you can do the math. Lynn Hayes Breland is with me from her home in Georgia. When are you coming back to the bird?
You're talking about. Actually, I'll be back in town next week. I go in and out a lot more than I ever even anticipated, but I'm coming in next week. You know, I've had a relationship with Dollar Bank for years, a program that initially started as Mortgages for Mothers, and now it's called The Way Home. So we'll be holding a special workshop next Saturday. Next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday, which really kind of walks through the home buying process. Financing, more, you know, explains mortgages. It really is a great launching point for first-time home buyers.
Yeah, that's a very, very good program. And buying a home can be overwhelming on a number of levels, but just knowing the process helps.
Well, I think so, and especially if you are, I've noticed over the years in being connected with Dollar Bank, the number of young people who come through and they may be the first ones in their family to actually buy a home, to own a home. So if you can't go to mom and dad or grandma to get that type of perspective, where do you go? And so a lot of that information is provided. And sometimes it's a lot more basic, like credit, why it's important, how to clean it up, and why it makes a difference. You know, it's just really very fundamental. And I think for me, the best kick of all of it is a year later, 2 years later, people come up to me on the street and say, hey, I came to mortgage. Well, then it was Mortgages for Mothers. And now I own my own home. It's just such a great feeling.
Well, it's so hard. And Marty and I have talked about this a long time, for young people to get a home, affordable home. And we hear this over and over. And suddenly Pittsburgh seemed immune to all of this. But now we're right there in terms of degree of difficulty, even though our housing prices might not be as high as some other big cities, certainly. But still hard for a family to afford and find a home they can buy.
Absolutely. And even when I talk about the change in that name, you know, when this program first started, it was geared specifically to women, Mortgages for Mothers. But what the research found is that it was challenging for anyone buying a home, whether it's a mom, a dad, a couple, you know, it's a challenge. So that's why it kind of broadened out and became Welcome Home, because the issues face whomever is trying to get into that home ownership.
I was in Millville a couple of Fridays ago where we had our team, you know, Odyssey Pittsburgh, gathered to help. It was kind of our Earth Day contribution, right?
Oh, yeah.
We do this one day a year. And somebody pointed out, hey, look, there's two of those real tiny homes. And they were, you know, those brand new.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm curious, because we have heard talk that some of these might be placed in places around the city to provide shelter for homeless people, though I don't think that part of it's found traction yet.
Well, I don't either. And I think that, you know, I've actually been inside of one. This was several years ago. I went into one in Garfield and it was really cute. But it was tiny, you know, it was definitely tiny. And I'd have to become a minimalist before I could live in a tiny house, a tiny home. But I love the concept of it. And I think that if it can be refined, I think it could make sense to deal with the homeless or the unhoused population. But I also think, like everything else, it's not enough to provide a house or a home to someone. You have to also learn how to maintain it, how to budget, how to do all of those things that allow you to be in a house.
Yeah, and I think they're trying to figure it out. Apparently, city council voted unanimously. They changed the restriction, what they were trying to get people to do. in terms of the infrastructure build out in the city and the requirement for affordable housing and what that means. So hopefully the changes they made will help both parties, and that is investment in the city and also provide some places where people could live affordably.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm an old believer in the adage, you know, give me a fish, I can eat for a day, but teach me how to fish, I can eat for a lifetime. I think a lot of the issues that we as a city, that most cities are confronting is it's not enough just to give someone something. Because if you don't understand what it takes to maintain it, it becomes very difficult to hold on to it.
Well, it's like that old saying, you know, if you give a person a fish, you feed them for a day. If you teach them how to fish, you feed them for a lifetime.
Absolutely.
And that's so true. A lot of young people, you know, and a lot of parents have been snowplow parents where they remove a lot of obstacles and then the kids don't realize, oh, it's not that easy. Oh, this isn't how this works. Oh, nobody's just going to hand me this.
Yeah, you know what, and you and I are of the same generation, but I think a lot of our younger generation these days have no idea or have no concept of what it means to have to work towards different things because so much has been given.
Yeah, ask anybody that owns a business, hey, how difficult is it to hire people these days? And you hear really a very similar pattern of stories about, well, first of all, we need help. Second, when we do find somebody, they have demands. Like, well, I don't work weekends. I don't work nights. I only work maybe Tuesday, half a day, Wednesday. And then they aren't really interested in the money, but they need money and they want money. But then they don't show up for their interviews. I mean, you hear this over and over. Where are all these people getting money?
That's what I always try to figure out. Okay, so if you don't want to do these things, you don't want to show up for work, you don't want the hours, but how are you living? And I don't know what it was like when you got into this business, but I remember when I first went to KDKA TV, the TV side, and I remember Sue McInerney saying to me, look, if you want to work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, this is not the business for you. And that was a rude awakening for me because I kind of thought it would be a Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 job. It's not.
No, and that was understood coming into the business, and so much of that has changed too. People don't want to put the same level of effort into a job, and you know that nobody can figure out how all these people are surviving, and there's 50,000 jobs available in Allegheny County today.
Today, absolutely, which means we as a society have to become more creative. I just read, I think it was in the Washington Post today, an article about new training programs for the incarcerated because they've identified that as possibly a good pipeline. You've got people who are incarcerated who are coming out and they need jobs, they need work, and you have people on the outside who need workers. So how do you put those two together and make it work for everyone?
Lynn Hayes Breland, we'll talk again, I guess, next month. When are you coming to the Berg?
Next week, actually.
Which someday, if you're in town, you got to come in.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I'm coming at the end of the week. I got to figure out. I got to get there on a Tuesday.
Nice move. All right.
Take care.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Coming up, we'll check in with Marty Griffin next. Coming up 10 until 2, Marty Griffin. And Marty. Get Marty. We have Patrick O'Connor setting up. You're doing some live streaming on Facebook, too.
Which we have 5,000 people cool. Yesterday. Yeah, it's there. It's the future, brother. You know that.
Pat says you got a lot going on today.
He doesn't go by Pat. Don't try and do that Pat thing.
Oh, no, Pat?
Tell him.
Patrick. Okay.
My wife's the same way. Don't call her Chris. What the hell?
All right.
But... horrible, horrible, horrible night in Charlotte, man. Yeah. I can't wrap my arms around the death of 4 cops. At one time, I just.
You know, I happened to see
Larry,
Paul Shulo's father Saturday, and think about when we lost our 3 officers. You know, when they went in for a domestic call, this was. A little different, but still 3 hours thinking, you know, at that point, I would imagine we got this under control. And yeah, 8 police officers shot, 4 killed.
Well, think about that. Their son was killed more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And they still haven't changed his room. Okay. So that's how tough things are. And there's a couple issues that come up when 4 officers die in one shooting. Training. And also, and Patrick knows this, they have made decisions, Larry, to be very, very aggressive at crime scenes like this, active shooter scenes, to pursue. And this happens because those guys are running toward gunfire, not away. Back in the day, they would hunker down. Not anymore. We're going to talk about that.
I'd be interested to find out why that's changed.
Well, they try to end the situation. They're trying to save lives and putting their own lives in danger for those who hate cops. And that disgusts me, by the way. We're going to hear from the police chief and the police union on, you know, folks don't want to give cops love here, but I do. What they pulled off at Pitt with these protesters. Pitt police kicked ass. Pittsburgh police kicked ass. I mean, really did the right thing. No one got roughed up. No one got angry at cops. Just really cool way to handle
it. And it was right at the boiling point moment.
Sunday.
But it was surprising to a lot of people to wake up and find that they were all gone.
God bless them. The protesters and the cops. This is what law enforcement should be about. They did a hell of a job, the men. Also, I got a woman who's going to call us live who has been in an emergency room trying to get a psychiatrist for her son for nearly 2 days. It's that difficult out there. You got to hear this story. It's dramatic, brother.
How do people find help? Check them out. Marty Griffin coming up 10 to 2. Thanks, Marty.
Sure, brother.